Rats and Mice by Mike Duff, location Victoria Station. So I'm walking down Miller Street, heading towards Victoria Station. I've had a drink and it's getting late. I notice a figure swaying in front of me. I recognise immediately the United shirt. It's one of them green and yellow ones, brought out to commemorate the centenary and Newton Heath's part in it. I fucking hate Newton Heath. Fucking smackheads and women with only I've shrunk the gyro kind of faces. And I get alongside him and our eyes meet. I look away but he's seen me. Fuck me with a wooden broomstick and call it the brush off. If it ain't me old mate Bobby Doyle, he says in a drunken slurred Welsh voice. Right, Bernie, I say, where you're off? A gleam comes into his eye and he offers me a can of Stella. Not seen you for a long time, Signor. I'm off to the press club. You want to come? And I notice the Welsh voice has mellowed to near Mancunian after 30 years in this city. Quite a few of them spent in strange ways and other of Her Majesty's guest houses. We walk along together. It's maybe 2:30 in the morning. And my mind gets lost in useless thought and the tangents of time take over. And I think about the first time I saw Bernie. We were on a train heading for Victoria Station, just like now. Both aged about 14. We'd been a Blackpool. Davis was with the Gang of Miles Platin lads, and I was with my cousin Rafferty. Rafferty knew them all, so no hassle. It was a good laugh at first, flinging light bulbs and toilet rolls out of windows and other kids' stuff. The train was one of them old sorts that had a corridor that ran right down the middle of the train, and you could swap compartments at will. No ticket collector on, so no authority figure to safeguard the interests of Mr. Commuter. Anyway, the train stops at Preston, and this suiting man gets on. Our compartment is full, so he settles down in one about 4 away. 10 minutes pass. By then we get bored. There's a little Livingstone in even the youngest Mancunian, so we go and explore. There's a girl with a good-sized pair of tits in one carriage, but her boyfriend's with her, and he's built like Jean-Claude Van Damme on steroids. So we leave them two well alone. We move a little further down, and we come across Mr. Suit, and he's chosen to be alone too. Never mind, we'll relieve the boredom, says Davis, who's firmly in charge. And we all pile in. These seats taken, says Rafferty, as he climbs on a luggage rack. The little shithouse, no chance of getting punched up there. Our host moves a few things for his uninvited guests, puts them in a briefcase, and then he commits suicide by speaking. No, you're all right, he says. And I wince. He's got a Scouse accent. A posh one, but Scouse nonetheless. There's a stunned silence at our end. We've caught an enemy spy. Hey, who'd you support, our kid? Says Rafferty, as Bernie blocks the door. Now Mr. Suit is in a quandary, and I don't mean one of them places where your mind's stone. He can't say United because of his accent. He can't say Liverpool or Everton. He must know enough to know that. And he'll get beat to fuck if he says he don't follow the beautiful game. I gotta say at this point, I was sort of enjoying myself. Didn't think it'd go much further, just a bit of fun. My mum had always kept me away from Rafferty and his crew. Said they were accidents waiting to happen. The Scouse lad is silent. He's roughly 20. But Bernie, though a kid, could do him any time he wanted. And that's without the others helping, which of course they would. Bernie decides to put the Scouser at ease. Don't matter to us, it's your business. And the Welsh accent gives the Scouser a little confidence, because he says, Liverpool. And I think a young Charles Bronson must be in the next carriage, because this is where he got the idea for the Death Wish films from. Rafferty's perched on the luggage rack, and he begins to sing. In the Liverpool slums, in the Liverpool slums, they go to a dustbin for something to eat, they find a dead rat and they think it's a treat, in the Liverpool slums. The Scouser laughs a nervous laugh. Rafferty takes over the questioning. What's your name, our kid? Richard, says the sweating Scouser. Yeah, you look like a dick, says Rafferty, milking the laughter. Second of seeing you, I thought, this man is a dick. Bernie don't like the lot of attention. Like your briefcase, he says. Could do with one of them for me exams. Can I have it? Point of no return. Richard has to try and fight or cut and run. But he decides to do neither. Bernie empties the contents of the case over him and says, ain't really got no exams, but I can use this in a blagging. Then when the filth fingerprint it, they'll arrest you, because you're a scouser. And we all laugh. Richard is now staring out the window. I can see it's gone too far. The man is shaking with fear. If he was braver, he'd get the beating done with. He'd just butt Johnny Rigg by the door and see what happens. He makes a serious mistake. He slowly gets up to leave. We're nowhere near a station, so he's just being yellow. Bernie grabs him by the throat and throws him down. I never expected none of this. Rafferty shouts, see, has he got any money to lend us, Bernie? The scouser starts crying. He's bleeding while swimming amongst piranhas. I hate to see a man cry, says Bernie. So shut the fuck up! There's a horrible silence, filled only with the sound of Bernie going through Richard's pockets. The final act of humiliation comes when Bernie strips him of his watch and passes it to Rigger. The train pulls into Salford. Next stop, Victoria, Manchester. The game is reaching its climax, and Richard's only hope is Sean Claude getting off and going to Mither Big Tits. But reality is a bitch, because the train choo-choos out of Salford with the carriage lined up intact. I know what is happening is wrong, but I ain't got the bottle to stop it. Don't get me wrong, I ain't like Rafferty. I ain't frightened of none of them, including Bernie. It's just sometimes it's easier to be one of the boys. So I look on fascinated. Yeah. Now, says Bernie, we're going to play a little game. As he's saying it, he pulls a dice out of his pocket. The poor scouse kid is mesmerised. Let's have it right. He's willingly given up his money, his watch, his briefcase and his self-respect. Know what the game is, says Bernie. The scouser shakes his head. And I'm praying the train pulls into Victoria and the game gets postponed and never replayed in Liverpool, with me casting the part of Richard. Though if that did happen, some fucker would get well and truly hurt besides me. Right, here's the rules, says Bernie. Explain them, Rafferty. Rafferty sits up on the luggage rack as best he can. His head is against the train roof. Right, he says. As you know, a dice is numbered 1 to 6. In our little game, you get to roll it. And if it comes up 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, we kick your scouse head in, Dick. Twat, I'm thinking. Rafferty ain't never kicked no fucker's head in, ever. Bernie takes over speaking. His face is a foot away from the scouser, and his eyes are mad. You're probably wondering what happens if it comes up 6, he says. The scouser is terrified. In his fear, he's both smiling and crying. If it comes up 6, then you get to roll a fucking gen, says Rafferty. Everyone is laughing. Everyone except Dick and me. I decide to end the game. No more humiliations. No rolling, no dice. I take the scouser out with one punch to the jaw. He falls sparkled. Everyone looks at me gobsmacked. We get off the train as fast as possible, and for all the wrong reasons, I'm immediately one of the gang. Bernie's full of admiration. What's your name, he says. Bobby Doyle, I say. And the clock ticks forward again, and we stand outside Victoria Station, all these years later. You coming to the press club, then, he says. Nah, I say. Got work in the morning. And we go our separate ways.